You'll also find valuable education information on the benefits of mutual fund investing and tons of free tools to help you learn more. SmartMoney.com. Created by the editors of Smart Money Magazine, this is a terrific site, easy to use and fun to work with. There are so many articles on the site that you could spend hours here and just scratch the surface. My favorite part of this site is the personal financial planning section. There's also a great section in this area on retirement planning and tons of tools. NYSE.com. The official site of the New York Stock Exchange, NYSE.com, contains detailed data about every NYSE-listed company, as well as solid background information on how the exchange works. NASDAQ.com. NASDAQ. For real-time stock quotes and detailed information about any of the more than 4,000 companies listed on the NASDAQ stock market, this is the place to go. AOL.com. Keyword, David Bach. Yes, yours truly. AOL Personal Finance is a leading personal financial destination on the internet, visited by millions monthly. If you are an American online subscriber, go to AOL keyword David Bach, where you'll find a money coach program I've created with AOL to make becoming an automatic millionaire even easier. Do you have more questions about retirement accounts? Any question you may still have about retirement accounts are bound to be covered in one of two enormously useful pamphlets you can get for free from the Internal Revenue Service. Go online to www.irs.gov and request Publication 590. That's Individual Retirement Arrangements. And Publication 560. That's Retirement Plans for Small Businesses. You can download these booklets right off the internet. And again, they're free. If you haven't visited the IRS new website, check it out. It contains an amazing amount of information that can help you, and it's all, again, free. Believe it or not, the government really wants you to save money by making pre-tax contributions to a qualified retirement plan. You just need to know how to do it. If you don't have access to the internet, you can call the IRS toll-free phone number at 800-829-3676 and simply ask them to mail you a report. Also, the IRS now maintains toll-free hotlines you can call to get assistance. For tax questions, call 1-800-829-4059. For additional information on free IRS services, request Publication 910, Guide to Free Tax Services. Whatever you do, remember to make it automatic. The McIntyres didn't become millionaires by being disciplined and sitting down once every 2 weeks to write a check to their retirement accounts. They were just as busy and distracted as you are. If they had had to write a check every few weeks, they would still be living paycheck to paycheck. What enabled them to achieve millionaire status was the action they took to make saving for the future automatic. So if your current plan is not automatic, remember, you need to change it. By the same token, if you're not funneling at least 10% of your income into a tax-deferred retirement account, you need to change that too. Don't settle for saving 4% of your income like most people. Most people end up at retirement dependent on Social Security, friends, and family for survival. You've got the knowledge now to do better. So do better. Even if you feel you have to do it gradually, I'm telling you, do it. Retirement planning can be as simple or as challenging as you decide to make it. With what you've learned so far, you can make it really simple and amazingly effective. Automatic Millionaire Action Steps for Chapter 4. Here's what you should be doing right now to ensure yourself a worry-free retirement. Make sure you signed up for your retirement account at work. If you don't have a retirement plan at work, open an IRA account. If you are self-employed, open a SEP IRA or a one-person 401k profit-sharing plan. Decide how much you're going to contribute to your account each month, ideally the maximum allowed. Decide how you want to invest your retirement contributions. Whatever type of account you open, arrange to have your contributions automatically transferred into it, either through payroll deduction, at work, or an automatic investment plan run by the bank or brokerage firm where you've set up the retirement account. Now let's go learn how to buy yourself financial security in case of a rainy day.
Chapter 5. Automate for a rainy day.
The sleep well at night factor. If the only actions you take as a result of listening to this audiobook are to decide to pay yourself first for your future and make it automatic, you'd still be better off than the vast majority of people. After all, how many friends or acquaintances do you know who can look forward to the future knowing they won't have any money worries in their later years? But what about now? How can you provide yourself with some financial security today? This chapter answers two basic questions. How much money should you put aside in order to protect yourself against the proverbial rainy day, and where should you put it? Let's face it, no matter how well you plan or how positively you think, there are always things out of your control that can go wrong, sometimes really wrong. People lose their jobs, their health, their spouses. The economy can go sour, the stock market can drop, businesses can go bankrupt. Circumstances change. If there's anything you can count on, it's that life is filled with unexpected changes. Stuff happens. Some people worry about change, while others prepare for it. As an automatic millionaire, you prepare. That way, when you hit a bump in the road, you don't have to borrow against your future or raid your pay-yourself-first money to deal with the problem. Here's a simple test you can take right now to determine if you're prepared for the kind of changes the real world can and will throw at you. The Sleep Well at Night Test. My monthly expenses currently total blank dollar amount. I currently have blank dollar amount saved in a money market or checking account. This equals blank months worth of expenses. Go and grab a pen or pencil and fill in the blanks on your own version of the Sleep Well at Night Test from page 16 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file to find out where you stand. You don't need to pull out the checkbook to figure this out. Just estimate what you think you spend each month, what you know you have in the bank, and how many months' worth of expenses your current balance can cover. A good night's sleep or the worry of bankruptcy. So how did you do? How many months' worth of savings do you currently have? Earlier I mentioned that according to the latest statistics, the average American has less than 3 months' worth of expenses set aside. In my personal experience as a financial advisor, I found that most people don't even have that much. Chances are that your neighbor, the one driving the new leased car and drinking 2 lattes a day, has less than 1 month's worth of expenses set aside. Your goal: build an emergency basket of cash. The United States is breaking all records for personal bankruptcies with more than 1.5 million in 2002. And in future years, it's only going to get worse. My prediction is that it won't be long before foreclosures on personal residences will also be reaching record levels. Why? The answer is simple. We simply don't maintain the same cushion of emergency money that our parents and our grandparents routinely stashed away. Instead, we are literally living paycheck to paycheck. In most families, it's actually 2 paychecks to 2 paychecks. Nearly 3 out of every 4 American homes are 2-income households. If one of those paychecks disappears, the family that depends on it can find itself upside down financially in less than 6 months. To make sure this never happens to you, I'm going to show you how to build an emergency basket of cash automatically. Grandma Bach used to tell me, "David, when the going gets tough, the tough have cash." And this, as in so many other things, she knew what she was talking about. Cash is king. Cash is security. Cash is protection. Cash is your take-this-job-and-shove-it option. Cash is just like the seatbelt you buckle when you get behind the wheel of your car. When you go for a drive, you don't plan to have an accident. Still, you wear your seatbelt because, one, someone else could run into you, and two, stuff happens. It's the same with money. You never plan on losing your job or becoming disabled or having your house burned down. But like I said, stuff happens. It always has, and it always will. Fortunately, that doesn't mean you have to be worried all the time. There is a way to protect yourself financially from the uncertainties of life. How? By surrounding yourself with a cushion of money. The 3 rules of emergency money. Number 1, decide how big a cushion you need. In order to be a real automatic millionaire, I believe you need a cash cushion of at least 3 months' worth of expenses. Take what you estimate you spend each month, multiply it by 3, and you've calculated your goal for emergency savings. If you typically spend $3,000 a month, you want to have at least $9,000 put away in a reserve account, not to be touched unless there's an emergency. Should you try to save more? Absolutely. In my previous books, I suggested putting aside anywhere from 3 to 24 months worth of expenses depending on your situation. How much you save depends on what you feel you need to sleep well at night. 3 months worth is a great starting place, but if you want to go higher, by all means, do what feels right to you. With all the economic and political unrest in the world these days, a year's worth of expenses is a great ultimate goal to shoot for. With that much saved, you don't have to worry about making ends meet, even if you lose your job and can't find a new one for a while. Even more important, a one-year cushion gives you the freedom to make decisions about your life that you might not feel able to make now, like whether to leave a job you don't like so you can risk trying a new career. Number 2, don't touch it. The reason most people don't have any emergency money in the bank is that they have what they think is an emergency every month. I want you to imagine that your emergency money is like the fire extinguisher on the wall in an office building. The cabinet containing the fire extinguisher usually bears a sign that reads, "In case of emergency, break glass." It doesn't say, "If you think you smell smoke, break glass." Think of your emergency fund the same way. The imaginary instruction sign on your emergency fund doesn't say, "In case you really need a new dress for that special party," or "In case the latest golf club has just gone on sale at the sporting goods store," or "In case you want a new dishwasher because the old one is making noise." It says, "Don't touch me unless it's a real emergency." What's a real emergency? Be honest with yourself. You know what a real emergency is. A real emergency is something that threatens your survival, not just your desire to be comfortable. Number 3, put it in the right place. I once conducted a seminar where I talked about how important it is to have some money set aside in case of emergency. In the middle of my discussion, a gentleman named Bob sitting in the back of the room raised his hand. "David," he said, "I've got $60,000 in emergency funds put away. Is that enough?" "That depends," I replied. "How much do you spend each month?" "About $2,000," came the answer. "So you've got 30 months worth of expenses put away," I said. "That's a huge emergency fund by any standard. Why so much?" Bob grinned, an embarrassed sort of grin. "Well," he said, "you know, my wife and I worry about the possibility of another depression or maybe a war. My wife even worries about UFOs." The class started laughing. "No, no," I said, quieting them down. "Remember, the point of an emergency fund is so you can sleep well at night. If having 60 months worth of expenses keeps Bob and his wife from worrying about UFOs, then that's the right amount of money for them to have saved." I turned back to Bob. "So tell me, how much interest are you earning on this money?" Bob's answer stopped me in my tracks. "I'm not earning any interest on the money," he said. "I've got it buried in my backyard in a suitcase." I stared at him in disbelief. "You've got $60,000 in cash buried in a suitcase in your backyard?" "Well, it's really more like $65,000, he said. "There's some gold coins in the suitcase, too." At this point, I was speechless. In the silence that followed, someone in the front row turned to Bob and said, "Out of curiosity, where exactly do you live?" The class broke up completely. It was one of the funniest moments I've ever experienced in a classroom. People were laughing for minutes. All the same, however, Bob's story troubled me. No way was he one of a kind. It's not that I thought there were lots of people burying their money in suitcases, but there had to be thousands, maybe even millions of people out there putting aside money for a rainy day without earning any interest on it. That's almost as bad as what Bob did. You heard me right. Not earning interest on your emergency money is almost as bad as burying it in your backyard. Don't let the banks get rich off your savings. Banks love it when people set up emergency funds for themselves. That's because most people put their rainy day money in savings and checking accounts. Why is this a bad deal? Because most savings and checking accounts pay little, if any, interest. In fact, most of these accounts can even cost you money, what with monthly fees, ATM fees, check fees, visiting the branch fees, and so on. The point is that whatever you do with your emergency money, find a bank you can trust that will take care of your money but will also make it grow. What you want to do with your emergency money is put it in a money market account that pays reasonable interest. A money market account is one of the simplest and most secure alternatives around for anyone who wants to put aside some cash and earn a reasonable return on it. When you make a deposit in a money market account, you're actually buying shares in a money market fund, a mutual fund that invests in the safest and most liquid securities there are, very short-term government bonds and sometimes highly rated corporate bonds. Just a few years ago, you generally needed a minimum of as much as $10,000 to open a money market account. Because of this, many people still mistakenly think these accounts are for rich people. In fact, you can now open most money market accounts with a minimum deposit of between $1,000 and $2,000, and in a few selected cases with as little as $1. That's right, just $1. Shop for a rate like you'd shop for a car. These days, there are literally thousands of money market accounts to choose from, and like everything else, the cost and quality varies widely. So just as if you were buying a car, don't be afraid to shop around. Perhaps the most important variable is the interest rate different money market accounts pay. Not only is there a huge variation from bank to bank, but rates can and do change daily. Since the early 1990s, interest rates in general have been dropping steadily. Along with them, so have the rates paid by most money market accounts. Over that time, I've seen them go from about 12% a year to a solid 7% in the 1990s to a paltry 1% as of early 2004. Finding the rate money market accounts are paying. To get an up-to-date look at what rates are available, here's what you should do. 1. Get a copy of a financial publication such as the Wall Street Journal, Investor's Business Daily, or Barron's. They all offer extensive lists of the interest rate different money market funds are paying. Similar information, though not quite so detailed, can also be found in USA Today or possibly even your local paper. 2. Go to www.bankrate.com. If you have access to the internet, this website not only allows you to compare money market rates being offered by different institutions, but also indicates the minimum deposit each requires to open an account. In addition, it allows you to sort banks by state, which is important since some banks can offer tax-free checking and money market accounts depending on which state they and you happen to be in. Now call your bank. Once you've got an idea what kind of rates are available, you'll be in a better position to question the institution that is currently holding your rainy day money. If it's a bank, pick up the phone and call them. Ask what kind of interest your money is earning. If the answer is zero, ask if they offer money market accounts. If they do, ask them what you need to do to open one and how much interest it would pay. Then compare the rates to what you've seen elsewhere. Based on this comparison, you may decide that it makes sense simply to move your emergency money from the non- or low-interest-bearing account they're now in to a money market fund at the same bank. If this turns out to be the case, keep in mind that all it took for your money to start earning interest was for you to start asking the right questions. Why didn't the bank tell you this information earlier? What do you think? This is why knowledge is power. Remember, the rich get rich because they make their money work for them. Now it's your turn to do the same. For an even better deal, check out brokerage firms. In most cases, you can get a higher yielding money market account at a brokerage firm than at your local bank. There are many reputable brokerages that offer money market accounts. The list we'll go over shortly is not exhaustive, but it's a great start, and more than likely contains enough leads for you to make a decision. When you contact a brokerage firm, ask the following questions. Number 1. What's the minimum to invest? Number 2. Can I set up a systematic investment program where you take money out of my checking account on a regular basis and invest it in a money market account? Make sure they can do this automatically. Number 3. If I set up a systematic investment plan, will you lower the minimum to invest? Number 4. Do you offer federally insured accounts? What's the rate on your insured money market accounts versus your regular money market accounts? Number 5. Does the account come with check writing privileges? And if so, what's the smallest check you can write? Does it come with an ATM card? Even though you're not going to use your checks or ATM card, except in an emergency, it's nice to have them in case you ever need quick access to your funds. Number 6. Does the bank charge a low balance fee? Some accounts hit you with an extra monthly or annual fee if you dip below a minimum. Be sure to ask for details. Places to open a money market account. I've listed the following banks and brokerages according to how small a minimum deposit they require to open a money market account, starting with the lowest minimum and ending with the highest. ING Direct. There is no minimum required to invest. You can reach them at 1-800-ING-DIRECT, D-I-R-E-C-T, or you can go to ingdirect.com. ING Direct is working hard to build its business in the United States. One of the ways in which they are doing this is by offering some of the highest money market rates around with no minimum investment required. What I particularly like about them is that you can set up an ING Direct account online and arrange for money to be transferred into it automatically from your checking account in just a few minutes without ever leaving home. If you have any questions, you can call them and they will walk you through the process on the phone. In addition to offering one of the highest interest rates around, ING Direct is one of the very few financial institutions whose money market accounts are FDIC insured. They call this account the Orange Savings Account. And except for the fact that it does not offer check writing privileges, it's a pretty good deal. Edward Jones. No minimum required to invest. The phone number, 1-314-515-2000. On the web, edwardjones.com. Edward Jones is a national brokerage firm that prides itself on working closely with small investors. Their minimum deposit requirement is one of the lowest of any national brokerage firm. You can open a money market account with them with as little as a dollar, but unless you invest at least $2,500, they will charge you a monthly account fee. Ask them for details. Their full-service money market account is called a CFO Foundation Basics and includes an ATM card. This account allows direct deposit of your paycheck as well as systematic investment plans in which they automatically debit your checking account or do a funds transfer on a prearranged schedule. Although you can't open an Edward Jones account online, they do have more than 8,000 branch offices throughout the United States where they can take care of you face-to-face. E-Trade Bank. $1,000 minimum. 1-800-ET-BANK, B-A-N-K, 1. E-Trade.com. When you visit the E-Trade website, make sure to click into E-Trade Bank to get information about the E-Trade Bank Money Market Account Plus. E-Trade Bank's money market account requires a $1,000 minimum opening deposit, but it allows unlimited ATM use and allows you to write 3 personal checks a month. You can also arrange for direct deposit of your paycheck. What's more, your funds are FDIC insured up to $100,000. If your balance drops below the $1,000 minimum, you get hit with a $10 fee, so be careful. Still, this is one of the easier low minimum money market accounts to set up online or by phone. Morgan Stanley, $1,000 minimum. MorganStanley.com. One of the world's largest full-service financial firms, Morgan Stanley offers a complete menu of brokerage services that include numerous types of money market accounts. A $1,000 minimum opening deposit gets you a money market account without check writing privileges. To be able to write checks, you need to make a $5,000 deposit. At this level, you can open Morgan Stanley's comprehensive full-service active assets account, often called a AAA account. This account offers unlimited check writing, an ATM card, full-service brokerage, consolidated reporting, and a wonderful year-end summary report that shows all of your transactions for the year. You can also set up an automatic direct deposit or systematic investing plan with this account. Most full-service firms offer similar types of accounts, but the minimum deposit requirements are typically $10,000. Morgan Stanley used to ask for that much, but they lowered it. To open an account with Morgan Stanley, you need to visit a branch office. Visit their website to locate a branch in your area, or check the phone book. Fidelity Investments. $2,500 minimum. 1-800-FIDELITY. Fidelity.com. One of the leading providers of mutual funds and online brokerage accounts, Fidelity also has numerous branch locations that you can visit to get advice and transact business. Fidelity offers numerous money market accounts. You can open a basic money market account that allows check writing with a minimum deposit of $2,500. They can mail you the forms to open this account, or you can visit one of their branches and do it face-to-face. They also allow for direct deposit and can accommodate a systematic investment plan. Vanguard, $3,000 minimum. 1-877-662-7447. On the web, vanguard.com. Vanguard is known for offering one of the lowest cost and highest yielding money market accounts around. With an initial deposit of $3,000, you can open a basic money market account that allows you to write checks in the amount of $250 or more. Vanguard also allows direct deposit of your paycheck and can help you set up an automatic investment plan in which they debit your checking account. You can set up this account online or by mail. Charles Schwab, $10,000. 1-866-855-9102. Schwab.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-B.com. Charles Schwab has offices around the country, as well as an easy-to-use website. However, the minimum to open a money market account here is very high. You need to make an initial deposit of $10,000 to open a brokerage account. Playing it safe. Historically, money market accounts are considered to be among the safest investments around, virtually on a par with bank certificates of deposit. Currently, however, interest rates are at historic lows, and if they stay that way for a while, the banks and brokerage firms that offer them may find it increasingly difficult to make money on them. Because of this, I strongly recommend investing only in established money market accounts at well-recognized, established financial institutions. Always ask how long the fund has been around, what kind of annualized return it generates, and what the expense ratio is. That is, what it costs the institution to run the fund. To really protect yourself, you might want to take a lower rate and go with a money market account that is federally insured. Getting around the minimums. Many brokerage firms may tell you that in order to open a money market account with them, you need to make an initial deposit of at least $2,000. If that seems pretty steep to you, don't give up. There's often a way around it. Ask the brokerage firm if they offer a money market fund that takes systematic investments. Most do, and generally speaking, as long as you sign a form agreeing to make regular monthly investments, they'll let you open a brokerage account to invest in a money market fund with as little as $100. Keep in mind, however, that if you open an account this way, you generally don't get check writing privileges or an ATM card. Now make it automatic. Ultimately, you will want to keep your rainy day fund separate from your checking account. While you could put your rainy day money in the same account you use to pay your bills, you really shouldn't. When you keep your spending money and your emergency money in the same place, it's too easy to dip into the rainy day fund for monthly expenses. And before you know it, your emergency fund will be gone. So here's what I would do. Your rainy day fund, step by step. Step 1. Using the previous list, as well as your own research, select a bank or brokerage that offers good money market rates. Then open a money market account. If you've got more than $1,000 to deposit, you should be able to find a money market account that offers both check writing privileges and an ATM card. But remember, don't use them unless it's an emergency. If you don't have that much, then open a money market account without a check writing option. Step 2. The best way to fund your rainy day account is to make it automatic. To do this, first check to see if your employer will direct deposit your paycheck. Again, all you have to do is contact your benefits office and ask if the company offers payroll direct deposit. If they will, you can arrange to have all or part of your paycheck automatically deposited wherever you want. All your employer needs is your account number. Step number 3. Decide how much you will save each month. My suggestion is that you strive to put at least 5% of your net take-home pay in your rainy day account each month. Your employer will want you to specify an exact dollar amount, so simply do the math and indicate what it is. Step number 4. If your employer won't do an automatic deposit into your money market account, arrange to have your checking account automatically fund your money market account. There are two ways to do this. Either you can instruct the bank where you have your checking account to transfer a specific dollar amount every 2 weeks to your money market account, or you can instruct the bank or brokerage firm that has your money market account to do what is called a systematic withdrawal from your checking account, in which money is automatically withdrawn from your checking account on a certain day each month and transferred into your money market account. Either way, everything is completely automated, and in most cases, you should be able to make the arrangements online. Let the government help. I want to share one more really safe and simple way to automate your rainy day fund. The government has made it incredibly easy to buy savings bonds online. If you are looking for a safe investment for your money that is guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, you will want to consider investing in U.S. savings bonds. Visit treasurydirect.gov. That's G-O-V, treasurydirect.gov. The government's Treasury Direct website, treasurydirect.gov, provides an incredibly easy way to invest as little as $50 a month automatically in two types of U.S. savings bonds, I-bonds and EE bonds, otherwise known as inflation bonds and patriot bonds. You can find the rates for both of these bonds by visiting this site and then clicking on for EE/E-bond investors and for I-bond investors. All about inflation bonds. I-bonds are also known as inflation bonds. That's because their earnings rate is indexed to inflation. The return is calculated as a combination of a fixed rate of return and a semi-annual rate based on the consumer price index. So if inflation rears its ugly head again, the return on these bonds gets increased, and you get protected from being stuck with a low rate. As of early 2004, the interest rate for I-bonds was 2.19%. Other features of I-bonds. Minimum purchase is just $50. The maximum you can buy in a year is $30,000 worth. Interest is generally added monthly. I-bonds are sold at face value. What this means is that to buy $100 worth of I-bonds costs you $100 in cash. I-bonds earn interest for up to 30 years. You can sell an I-bond after 1 year, although if you sell before 5 years, you'll be penalized 3 months' worth of interest. This may seem like a stiff penalty, but given the good rates these bonds can pay, it really isn't. All about Patriot Bonds. EE bonds, also known as Patriot Bonds, are savings bonds that were issued following the September 11th terrorist attack. Their rate is calculated as 90% of the 6-month average of the 5-year Treasury marketable securities yield. This sounds complicated, but all it means is that they pay 90% of the return you get from a 5-year Treasury note. As of early 2004, the EE bond rate was 2.61%. Features of Patriot Bonds. Interest is added monthly and compounded semi-annually. EE bonds are sold at 50% of the face value of the bond. What this means is that to buy $100 in Patriot bonds, you actually fork over just $50. When the bonds come due after 30 years, you can cash them in for their full $100 face value. You can sell a EE bond after owning it for 1 year. And as with an I bond, if you sell before 5 years, you will lose the last 3 months of interest that you earned on the bond. How to automate the purchase of savings bonds. The government has made it really easy to automate your bond buying. Just go to www.savingsbonds.gov and click on the Treasury Direct button at the top of the page. This will jump you to a page that explains how to set up an automatic purchase plan for U.S. savings bonds. The fact is that the government's Treasury Direct plan is tailor-made for automatic millionaires. Among other things, it lets you buy bonds with automatic debit from your personal checking or savings account, or using payroll deduction if your company offers it. It also allows you to set up the account online in minutes, or if you want, download the forms to fill out and then mail or fax it in. Either way, you win. You may now be wondering, where would I put my rainy day money? In a money market account or in government savings bonds? They both have advantages. Money market accounts provide you with more liquidity, meaning you can get your hands on your money quickly and easily without having to pay a penalty. But right now, at least, government savings bonds pay a higher rate of interest because they are considered longer-term investments than money market accounts. And it's so easy to buy them automatically with a very small initial deposit. For many people, having both is a great option. What if I'm in debt? If you owe credit card debt, then the order in which you do things should change. I recommend to people with big credit card balances that they build up just 1 month worth of expenses in their security account and then concentrate on paying down their debt. Why? Because it doesn't make sense to have money earning 1% in a money market account at the same time that you're paying 20% on your credit card debt. A bit later in this program, you'll find a chapter on credit card debt. By the time you finish it, you'll know how to lower the interest rate on your credit cards faster and get out of debt quicker than most people. But first, let's find out the real secret to finishing rich while you're still young, becoming a homeowner. Automatic Millionaire Action Steps for Chapter 5. Reviewing the steps we laid out in this chapter, here's what you should be doing right now to ensure yourself automatic financial security. Decide you're going to build an emergency cushion of cash, ideally 3 months or more of expenses. Decide you're going to earn interest on your savings instead of letting the bank get rich at your expense. Open a rainy day money market account or set up a rainy day account by investing in U.S. savings bonds. Make your rainy day fund automatic and let it grow until your emergency cushion is big enough for you to feel secure. You are almost done. It may seem hard to believe, but once you've made your future automatic and you've automated for a rainy day, you'll be close to having your entire financial plan on automatic pilot. Imagine never having to worry about money again. Well, that's what it's like to be an automatic millionaire. And that's what you are about to become.
Chapter 6. Automatic Debt-Free Homeownership.
Of all the secrets to financial security that I share in this book, there are three that stand out in terms of importance and effectiveness. The first is to decide to pay yourself first 10% of your pre-tax income. The second is to make it automatic. The third is to buy a home and pay it off automatically. In this chapter, we're going to look at why you should own your own home, and even more important, how you can pay for that home automatically so you can be debt-free before you're too old to enjoy it. So let's get started. Young or old, you want to own the place you live in. Why? It's simple. You can't get rich renting. As the old saying goes, landlords get rich and renters stay poor. Think about it. As a renter, you can easily spend $500,000 or more on rent over the years. $1,500 a month for 30 years comes to $540,000. And in the end, you wind up just where you started, owning nothing. Or you can buy a house and spend the same amount of money paying down a mortgage, and in the end, wind up owning your own home free and clear. The fact is, you aren't really in the game of building wealth until you own some real estate. The first landlord you should become is your own. Study after study has shown that people who own their own homes wind up with an average net worth many times greater than that of those who rent. According to one survey of consumer finance published by the Federal Reserve in January 2000, the average net worth of renters was $4,200 versus $132,000 for homeowners. In other words, homeowners were more than 31 times richer than renters. But even more important than money is the feeling homeownership gives you. When you own, you have the security that comes from knowing you are building equity and living in a place that belongs to you. You're not at the mercy of a landlord who can raise your rent or evict you. So if you're currently renting, buying a place to live, whether it's a house or a condo, needs to be a priority. But can you really make buying a home and paying it off automatic and easy? The answer is yes, and this chapter will show you how. Debt-free homeownership made easy. When I first met Jim and Sue McIntyre, one aspect of their story that really impressed me was how much they benefited from buying a home and paying it off early. If you remember, they bought their first home while they were still relatively young, and by doing nothing more complicated than accelerating their payments slightly, they managed to pay off their 30-year mortgage in less than 20 years. At that point, they rented out their first home for income and bought another home, which they also paid off in less than 20 years. By the time the McIntyres reached their early 50s, they owned two homes completely free and clear. As a result, they were able to retire early, debt-free, with close to $1 million in real estate equity and positive cash flow. We should all lead such lives. And the fact is, we can. Here's how. Step 1. Buy a home. So you want to be a millionaire? Like I said before, there's only three things you really need to do. Number 1. Decide to pay yourself first, 10% of what you earn. Number 2, make it automatic. And number 3, buy a home and pay it off early. If you think there should be more to it than this, you're right. You have to be smart about how you do these things. As we've already seen, when it comes to paying yourself first, you've got to automate the process and make your investment with pre-tax dollars. It's the same when it comes to buying a home. You need to be smart about how you pay for it, so you don't waste a fortune on financing. We'll be covering this in detail shortly. But first, let's look at why buying a home is such a great deal. 6 reasons why homes make great investments. There are actually countless reasons why homes make great investments. Here are the top 6. Number 1, Forced savings. Despite the impression you may get from the media, very few people actually lose their homes to foreclosure. According to the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, banks foreclose on less than 1.5% of residential mortgages. That's because homeowners will do just about anything to keep from losing their homes. So one way of looking at home ownership is as a kind of forced savings program in which in order to keep your home, you must make a monthly contribution in the form of a mortgage payment to one of the best investments around, home equity. Number 2, leverage. One of the most effective financial tactics used by the really big wheeler and dealers is something called leverage, using borrowed money to multiply your potential gains. When you buy a home, you get to play the leverage game too. Here's how it works. Let's say you're buying a $250,000 home with a down payment of 20%. What this means is that you're putting in $50,000 of your own money and you're borrowing the remaining $200,000 from a bank. Since you've actually put in only one-fifth the purchase price, you've got 5-to-1 leverage. Now let's say the value of the house increases over the next 5 years to $300,000. Given that you've put in only $50,000, the $50,000 increase in value means that you've effectively doubled your money. This is the power of leverage. Over the last 5 years, many homes have doubled in price. Think what this means in terms of leverage. If you invested $50,000 in a $250,000 home 5 years ago, and it's now worth $500,000, you've made $250,000 on a $50,000 investment. In investment circles, that's called a five-bagger, an amazing 500% return on your money. Number 3, OPM. OPM stands for other people's money. You hear this phrase a lot among smart investors. We discussed earlier how instead of working for their money, rich people get their money to work for them. Well, really rich people not only get their money to work for them, but they also get other people's money to work for them. When you buy a home, you're doing just that, using the bank's money to get rich. Meanwhile, your money can be working for you elsewhere, say compounding in a retirement account. Number 4, tax breaks. By letting you deduct the cost of your interest you pay on your mortgage up to a maximum of $1 million, the government gives you a huge incentive to become a homeowner. The higher your tax bracket, the more the government is helping you buy a home. If you are in the 30% tax bracket, the government is basically subsidizing almost a third of your mortgage payment, particularly in the early years, when most of your monthly payments go to pay interest. Number 5, pride of ownership. When you own your own home, you own a piece of the American dream. You put down roots, become part of a community, and enjoy the sense of pride that comes with ownership. This is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's something that gives you and your loved ones a real sense of security. Number 6, real estate has proven to be a great investment. For most people, the best investment they'll ever make is their home. Ask your parents about this if they're homeowners. But is this still true? As U.S. housing prices climbed steadily through the late 1990s and early years of the 21st century, some people began to worry if we were experiencing a real estate bubble, similar to the unjustified run-up we saw with dot-com stocks. But folks, homes are not stocks. They don't trade on an exchange. You can't buy and sell them with a click of the mouse. Yes, real estate values have been skyrocketing in value. And yes, there have been some bad years and some bad times. But the bad times have always been temporary. Over the long run, real estate prices almost always go up, and buying a home almost always works out great. According to figures kept by the National Association of Realtors, there's never been a national real estate bubble. What's more, ever since 1968, when they first started keeping records, real estate investments have averaged an annual return of 6.3%. But what about the down payment? The number one reason people put off buying a home is because they think they can't afford it. More often than not, they're wrong. In particular, would-be home buyers are scared off by the down payment. People often think they need to come up with thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in cash in order to get a mortgage. This is simply not true. There are all sorts of programs sponsored by developers, lenders, and even the government that can enable first-time home buyers to finance as much as 95%, 97%, or even 100% of the purchase price. While borrowing so much can be risky if you can't afford the monthly payments, it's also a way of getting out of a renting situation and into your own home much faster than saving up enough money to make a big down payment. billions of dollars are available to help you buy. In 2002, President George W. Bush announced a goal of increasing the number of U.S. homeownership by 5.5 million over the next 8 years. In order to make this happen, the government has earmarked billions of dollars to help first-time homebuyers handle their first down payment. In addition, the government is also creating products to lower the overall cost of mortgages for first-time homebuyers. Agencies and companies that can help you buy a home. U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD.gov. HUD's mission is to create opportunities for homeownership. To this end, it offers all kinds of assistance to would-be homebuyers, including grants to help people buy a first home. If you're a first-time homebuyer, visit this website. It offers a wealth of resources on how to buy, what kind of help HUD offers, and how to qualify for assistance. You can even chat online with an agency representative and be referred to a housing counselor in your area. Again, that's HUD.gov. National Council of State Housing Finance Agencies. NCSHA.org. If you are a first-time homebuyer, you may qualify for a special state loan program specifically created to help people like you. The NCSHA website contains links to housing finance agencies in every state, many of which offer programs that allow you to buy a home with a down payment of less than 5%. When you visit this site, click on the member list, then click to your state for contact information about your local housing finance agency. Call the agency directly and tell them you're a first-time homebuyer looking for a bank in your area that participates in the state housing loan program. Fannie Mae, 1-800-832-2345. FannieMae.com. That's FannieMae.com. The Federal National Mortgage Association, otherwise known as Fannie Mae, is a private company that operates under congressional charter to increase the availability and affordability of home ownership for low, moderate, and middle-income Americans. Since 1968, Fannie Mae has helped 43 million families realize the dream of owning a home. In 2002, it created what it calls the American Dream Commitment, a program to provide $2 trillion in funding over the next decade in order to increase homeownership in America by 18 million families. Fannie Mae doesn't lend money itself. What it does is provide the financing that makes it possible for banks to lend money to consumers. It also offers free reports that you are bound to find useful. Opening the door to a home of your own, choosing a mortgage, knowing your credit, and borrowing basics are all available simply for the asking. Just call 1-800-688-4663, and they'll send you one of them or all of them. In addition, check out HomePath, that's HOMEPATH.com, a related Fannie Mae website that contains a consumer-friendly for home buyers and homeowners section, with helpful information on becoming a homeowner and finding a lender, as well as additional resources. Freddie Mac, 1-800-373-3343. On the web at freddiemac.com, spelled FreddieMac.com. Since 1970, Freddie Mac, also known as the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, has financed 26 million homes in America, one out of every six built since it came into existence. Freddie Mac does not make loans to consumers. Rather, it provides a financing that allows lenders to offer home loans that are affordable. The Freddie Mac website is worth visiting, particularly the home buyers section at freddiemac.com/homebuyers, where you'll find a wonderful tool called The Road to Home Ownership. Freddie Mac also has a related website, homesteps.com, that's HOMESTEPS.com, designed to help first-time homebuyers find a bargain on a home and get loan approval in one easy step. It does this by listing foreclosure auctions nationwide and providing information about loan programs that allow potential homebuyers to buy foreclosed properties with as little as 5% down. Loan programs to consider. FHA loans. The Federal Housing Administration, FHA, is an agency within HUD that provides lenders with mortgage insurance, thus giving them the security to lend to first-time homebuyers who otherwise might have trouble qualifying for a loan. In many cases, FHA loans can cover up to 97% of the purchase price and can be used to buy a second or third home. To get one, you need to work with a lender who's approved to do FHA loans. For more information, visit FHALoan.com. This website is not run by the FHA, but it's a good place to start. For referrals to FHA-approved lenders in your area, visit HUD.gov. VA loans. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has a program that guarantees mortgage loans made to veterans of the U.S. Armed Services. The VA offers loans to both first- and second-time homebuyers. In addition to visiting the VA's own website at va.gov, where you'll find a resource center and referrals to VA-approved lenders, you might also want to check out valoans.com. Again, it's not run by the VA, but it's very useful nonetheless. State bond loans. Most states offer individual bond programs designed to help first-time homebuyers. Ask the manager or the mortgage specialist at your local bank for details. Also, as we discussed, visit the National Council of State Housing Finance Agency's website, ncsha.org, for more information on these programs. The rent you pay today could buy you a home tomorrow. Many people don't realize the same amount of money they spend on rent today could buy them a home tomorrow. As of this recording, in 2004, interest rates were at a 45-year low. They may be higher by the time you listen to this, but let's use the math we have at the moment. To put it simply, for every $1,000 you pay in monthly rent, you could support $125,000 worth of a mortgage, including taxes and insurance. In other words, if your rent is currently $2,000 a month, you could afford to make payments on a $250,000 mortgage. In most parts of the country, that would buy you a lot of home. How much home can you afford? According to the FHA, a good rule of thumb is that most people can afford to spend 29% of their gross income on housing expenses, as much as 41% if they have no debt. Look at the first part of the mortgage table from page 17 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file. As the table indicates, if you earn $50,000 a year, you should be able to afford to spend at least $1,208 a month on housing, whether in the form of rent or mortgage payments. Keeping in mind that home ownership, buying, is better than home loanership, renting. Check out the table called Typical Mortgage Payments, also on page 17 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file. It shows what the monthly payments would be for different amounts on a 30-year mortgage at different interest rates. It doesn't include taxes or insurance. To figure them in, you'll need to check on what they run in your area. The key to success, getting the financing right. We've now come to the most important part of this chapter, how to pay off your home and become debt-free automatically. It's not enough to just buy a house. In fact, buying the house is often the easiest part. The real challenge comes in figuring out how you're going to pay for it. Indeed, the key to making it all work financially is getting the right kind of mortgage. There are many types of mortgages. Each type has its advantages and disadvantages. Let's take a look at what is available, and then I'll share my recommendations for how an automatic millionaire should select a mortgage. To view a summary of various mortgage types, view the table called Mortgage Types on page 18 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file. On page 19, there's also this list of websites to help you find a mortgage and finance a home. Websites to help you find a mortgage and finance a home. CityMortgage.com, eLoan.com, HomeBuying.about.com, HomeBuyingGuide.org, HomePath.com, LendingTree.com, PuebloGSA.gov, QuickenLoan.com, Realtor.com, SmartMoney.com/home/buying. Why a 30-year mortgage can make sense. So what type of mortgage would I select? My first choice for most people is a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Why? Well, to begin with, they are simple. They're also a great deal when interest rates are low, since they lock in the low rate for the next 30 years. What's a low rate? Historically, anything below 8% is considered to be very low. In 2002, 30-year mortgage rates dipped below 6%. To get a quick look where rates are right now, visit any of the websites listed on page 19 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file, or check your local newspaper. My favorite places on the web to go to review mortgage rates are www.eloan.com and www.yahoo.com. When you go there, click on Finance, then click through to Loans and Rates. Both sites are easy to use and allow you to do searches for rates without having to provide personal information. Two other good places to visit for mortgage rate information are LendingTree.com and QuickenLoan.com. How you can get ripped off by a 30-year mortgage. One great thing about 30-year mortgages is that they lock in a rate for 30 years. Another great thing is that it's relatively easy to carry them. After all, the monthly payments on a 30-year are lower than they are on, say, a 15-year mortgage. Still, most people get burned on their 30-year mortgages. That's because you don't actually want to pay for your home for more than 30 years. Why? Because if you do, you'll be in debt and paying off your home forever. Banks love 30-year mortgages because they get rich off them. Unfortunately, if the bank is getting rich, then you're getting poor. The math is simple. Say you buy a home for $250,000. If you get a 30-year mortgage at 8%, your mortgage payments over the 30 years will wind up totaling about $660,000. Wow, think about that. You bought a $250,000 home and it actually cost you $660,000. Where did the extra $410,000 go? It went to pay the interest on your mortgage, which is to say, it went into the bank's pocket, not into your house. What makes 30-year mortgages more of a problem for most people is that most people live in their homes for less than 10 years. The average is only about 5 to 7 years. Now, if you live in a house for, say, 7 years, and then sell it, you will have paid down the principal on your mortgage by only about 4%. That's right. On average, during the first 10 years of your loan, more than 90% of your payments go to pay interest. Just recording this makes me want to go open a bank. What it means is that tens of millions of Americans with 30-year mortgages are wasting a fortune paying for their homes in this way. How to save yourself a decade worth of work. It's hard to get debt-free, never mind rich, when virtually all of your mortgage payment is going to pay bank interest. Yet that is what happens for the first 10 years of most 30-year mortgages. To put it another way, with a mortgage like that, you spend the first 10 years working hard for the bank, but building little equity for yourself. But there is an alternative. If you follow the system I'm about to share with you, you could save yourself nearly a decade's worth of work. The secret system to debt-free home ownership. The secret to being an automatic millionaire is keeping it simple. So here's what you do. Find yourself that home you want and buy it. Get a 30-year mortgage and then use my secret system. What's the secret system? It's using a bi-weekly payment plan to pay down your mortgage and doing it all automatically. What's a bi-weekly payment plan? Glad you asked. Keep listening. The Automatic Millionaire Bi-Weekly Mortgage Payment Plan. Anyone can do this. You don't need a special mortgage. All you need is your mortgage. What you do is take the normal 30-year mortgage you have, and instead of making the monthly payments the way you normally do, you split it down the middle and pay half every 2 weeks. Let's do some more simple math. Say your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month. Normally, you would pay this amount once a month, but not anymore. Starting next month, you are going to begin sending your mortgage lender $1,000 every 2 weeks. By doing this, something miraculous will happen. Depending on your interest rate, you can end up paying off your mortgage early, somewhere between 5 and 10 years early. The average about 7 years early. Do you have any idea how much money you can save by paying off your mortgage early? Seriously, check this out. Once again, it depends on your interest rate, but on average, a U.S. homeowner can save upwards of $100,000